Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Johnny Bananas, and I'm going to be covering a brand new season of The Challenge USA on CBS that, of course, I will be completely dominating on my podcast, Death Taxes and Bananas, on the Ringer Reality TV Podcast. Head over to that feed and follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
30 minutes.
If you want to call in, let us know what's happening in your group chat or any other, like, maybe creepy pictures of me that might be floating out there. Give us a call at 646-STEW-138. All right, Jacoby. We got a big heist we got to talk about.
You know I love the heist.
And by big, I mean a lot of details, small amount of money. Two women have been accused of stealing $600 worth of liquor.
No. $6,000 worth of liquor.
$6,000.
At multiple locations in the central Massachusetts and bordering on New Hampshire area.
I just want to note, my point stands. $6,000, not that much money.
Fair.
Carry on.
Fair.
Tell us everything about these two gals and what they've been doing.
There's so many interesting things about this, but it started in early June. There's various liquor stores noticed that there was two women coming in, one wearing an ill-fitting blonde wig.
Okay, so the story that Mike, our producer, provided to us to study up on this, noted in a quote that the one wearing the blonde wig, that was a badly fitting
wig.
Did
you go back to the pictures
yeah,
and look
of course,
at it? It looks so bad.
It was hilarious. I loved it.
It looks so, it makes every wig on House of Dragons look perfect, like it was natural hair.
Wait, that's not their natural hair?
It's not. And if you're going to rob something and you want to be inconspicuous, adjust the wig before you walk in to steal the booze. The wig draws so much attention.
It looks like drapes on her head.
It looks like it honestly looks like the wolf dressing up as the grandma. That's what it looks like. That's like the level of costuming that we're doing. It's like you're not grandma, you're a wolf.
It's so bad. I just want to say the name of the accused so that people can Google this. It's Chelsea Golan.
Yes.
And Rebecca Mata.
Rebecca, still on the lamb.
Rebecca, the wig wearer, still on the lamb.
Yes, still on the lamb. So
I just, again, it's Chelsea's, with Chelsea S-I-E, not S-E-A.
Oh,
just,
yeah.
I want people to be able to Google it to see the wig.
Yes, the wig is amazing.
Chelsea Golan.
And it's not just blonde. It's like a dirty blonde.
It has, like, streaks.
Streaks, yeah.
Yeah. It's really horrible. It makes it look like she's... like really half-assing it?
No, it looks like she has a ton of hair under the wig. Like the wig isn't on her head, it's on her hair.
It's just really bizarre. I don't even
know. But again,
know,
if you're
though.
Trying to not attract attention and be low-key and not be noticeable, maybe not that.
The funny thing is Chelsea, who's not wearing a wig, is that. Like she is totally
yes.
normcore. Like if she walked into your store, she'd like basically
not bat an eyelash.
No, you would just continue on your phone. Like it
you would.
Yeah.
Until you realize that these two women walked out with, I assume without buying anything, and large bags, I assume which are like purses,
maybe,
just filled with booze.
Maybe she put some booze underneath the wig, and that's why.
Maybe that's why it's so ill-fitting.
Yeah.
Maybe she's using it as a transport vehicle. That's the only thing that makes any sense. Maybe in the hair, because it's so big and crazy. She's got a couple bottles of Jack, just like in the hair, like Jack Sparrow.
It's like her wig is like a Mary Poppins bag. It's
yes.
just, it fits
just
a lot of things.
Yes. So what happened with these two women is they basically do this routinely. So much so that the liquor store coalition of this area got together. And on June 8th, they opened a tip line.
They sure did.
Which I've seen for missing people. But usually for like big cases.
You called
multiple times
for food news.
Multiple times for this podcast, I've called tip lines. So I guess this is a practice that we're not familiar with in the New York tri-state area that much because there's so much crime. But and then people respond to the tip lines.
Like several people and like right away. Because they very quickly found Chelsea. Chelsea's involvement came to light basically immediately.
But there were two important calls that led to Chelsea's capture. One came from someone who said Chelsea propositioned them to sell them high-end liquor at half price. So this is Chelsea reaching out to strangers, being like, I've got high-end liquor at half price. And then that person was so taken aback by this that they came across the tip line and decided to then tip the police officers that Chelsea did this, didn't even have Chelsea's name.
When they asked Chelsea how she was able to get this high-end liquor at half price, her response was, I know a guy.
Yes. Now, this is the part that blew my mind.
Okay.
First, the response, I know a guy, was hilarious.
So good. It's like, did you Google, like, fell what's your response?
Fell off the truck. Fell off the truck, know a guy, are the only two acceptable answers there.
I want to know what blows your mind, but I first want to ask you a follow-up question. The grandma in London, in England, who was stealing stuff for people, you thought there was no way that was
That's
real.
That's completely fake.
This doesn't change your mind at all?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay, because I guess that I'm impressed, or not impressed, but it stands out to me how much, like, pretty petty theft we're covering in this podcast.
Yes.
And I'm just like, if you're going to do it, steal something more. I don't know. Just
I like that.
It just seems like, go for it. Anyway, what blew your mind, Jacoby?
A lot of things. The second thing that blew my mind was the second caller, right?
Yeah.
A relative of Golan. Chelsea's blood relative.
I was thinking, who are you imagining when you hear a relative of Chelsea?
Okay, so I was thinking a lot about the family dynamics.
Yeah.
Whoever this person is fucking hates Chelsea.
So,
like, you can only, like, there's a level of hate that you have for, like, people you see on TV or celebrities or personalities or, like, people that you work with, you say you hate, but you can really truly only hate to the highest level people that you are, like, blood related
that
to,
you know,
or extremely close to.
It goes really deep.
And I definitely think it's a female. You can be mad at me for that.
I agree.
And it's like this person hates Chelsea so much. They saw a tip about someone just petty thieving around the area liquor stores. And they're like, that's Chelsea. I'm calling the tip line and I'm naming her out by name.
So I was imagining, like, a cousin that she was, like, close with. They had a falling out.
Yeah.
But
something like that. Like, maybe they moved in together and it was all good.
Yeah.
And then it just really, really went south from there.
I don't know why I was imagining as a cousin, because another potential is, like, sisters. Like, sisters
but
can
I
really
don't like to think that, because I know you're a relationship person. I want siblings to be buds.
I know, but I think siblings, you can have a really deep hatred because you share so much.
Maybe I like to think, because I'm a glass half full guy, I like to think that they're going through a rough patch and then later she'll apologize down the road in life.
I have one other theory that's really dark that I'd like to throw out.
I'm all ears.
What if it was Chelsea's mom? And she's like, I know that are a parent. I know that you are stealing and I'm going to teach you a lesson the hard way.
There's also a dark part of this that lends a little bit to that kind of theory. First of all, not only did the relative call and rat out Chelsea, also identified Chelsea's friend, not a relative, as Becca.
Yeah. I think it's, I'm leaning toward parent.
So they put the tip line up on the 8th of June. Chelsea was interviewed by authorities on the 9th of June.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up, because I had to go do a double take. Because I was like, what? Wait, I was told this is a multi-month investigation that took 10 weeks.
Well, that's because Becca's still in the
lamb. But I was just like, wait, what?
In 24 hours, she's in the precinct? We go from, like, hey, did anyone have any information about this rash of liquor store thefts? If I saw liquor store thefts, I'd be like, that could be a million different people. How do we
know
this is cereal? Like, what are we even talking about? Liquor stores are famously a place that gets robbed.
Of course, yeah.
Often.
Duh.
It's like a cliche.
That's why they have cameras.
Yeah. That's why she's wearing a wig. Poorly.
Poorly.
So then she's interviewed on the 9th. She admitted to stealing the liquor in all four Concord incidents. She also identified the second thief as Becca Mata. So now she's rolling on her friend. However, it says she identified the thief as Mata, comma, one of her drug buddies, comma, the affidavit said.
One of her drug buddies.
We cannot be throwing around the term drug buddy haphazardly when it comes to, like, police investigations and affidavits. Like, what?
Well,
like, it does take a dark turn because maybe it is the mom and maybe it's like an intervention thing and maybe she has a legitimate drug problem that she's trying to fuel with her liquor store thefts, which makes this like not that much fun anymore. And I hope they all get help. But
I want to go back to the fun side.
Okay, good. Let's do that.
We're going down a dark path.
Yes.
Another part of this that's really funny and very like feels like it should be on like a jury duty type of show is how they're trying to confirm Becca's phone number. And they call it like 30 times.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
And then she goes dark.
And then she goes dark. But they also are cross-referencing that number with the call log from Chelsea's phone and the text that she received.
Yes.
And I just thought it was a really funny tidbit of the story because I'm just like, wow, they really have to like go through all the motion, even though it's like obviously her phone number.
Yes. And then she switched phone numbers. But set up the voicemail, the new phone number to say, hey, this is Rebecca. If you have a voicemail, leave it here. And she kept texting and calling Chelsea from the new phone with the exact same, like, I assume grammar and intonations and everything and voice.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not a great job of ditching the phone and getting a new number and changing nothing about your life except for the number.
A lot of things aren't well executed with this heist.
And also, there's a third party involved in this heist.
Who is it, Jacoby?
There is a liquor store in these people's lives that they were allegedly dumping the liquor off at half price for. So this person owns a liquor store, gets it from Chelsea and Becca for cheap, and then puts it out on the shelves.
Right. They're a supplier.
The police went and investigated this liquor store, and the person that worked at the liquor store was very nervous and extremely sweaty. First of all, totally can relate as a very sweaty person. And they also, the Chelsea specifically described a physical ailment that this person that worked at the liquor store had as well. So it's clearly them, but they denied it and they have not been brought to justice quite yet.
Just some great reporting. We've learned this is the most we know about any of the heists we've covered.
Okay. Where the fuck is Becca?
Becca's like out of the region.
She's gone.
Maybe she's in like Canada. Like they're not that far from like Montreal.
And Becca's
or
the wig wearer, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? Becca's a master of disguise. Master of disguise.
She's like
a faceless man from Game of Thrones. You don't know who Becca is.
She might be Arya Stark. Maybe she's the good guy.
She is.
Who knows? Good
Maybe
luck to both
Becca
of them.
Becca is the person that works at the liquor store and is faking the physical ailment.
Oh, wow.
There's so much more to this story to uncover.
I think the main thing I know is that Becca's family is not as invested in her well-being because I'm pretty sure...
Chelsea's family is the one that snitched.
Chelsea's family snitched because they're trying to intervene.
Mm-hmm.
So, good luck, everyone. And don't steal alcohol. And if you are, do it for more than $6,000.
Yeah, and if you're talking to the police, don't identify your friends as drug buddies, okay?
Well, maybe it was like, you know, she thought it was a casual conversation. I'm going to say good job by the police in getting her to admit that kind of thing, making her feel so comfortable that she uses the phrase drug buddy. I watch a lot of British police shows, like police procedurals, and the way they interview you when you're being questioned in the UK on the TV shows, they sit like knee to knee. They're not like across the table, but it's like they're leaning in, like asking you all these questions and like they're...
And how do they slam on the table in disgust when they can't get the information they want?
They don't do that. They don't need to.
So proper.
They get you to say drug buddy really fast.
Really quickly.
All right. This has been a very special Food News deep dive. But
I'm sorry. I ate up half the show with this thing.
I'm so glad you did. But it is now time for us.
Rapid fire.
To move on. I want to go straight to this Gatorade story.
Okay.
Jacoby, this is big news.
Huge news.
Gatorade will be offering a new product.
All ears.
It's water.
Water. So I'm a Gatorade person.
Me too. What's your flavor again?
I do Gatorade Zero because once you realize that real Gatorade is just like
really
terrible for you, I do Gatorade Zero and I'm open to all flavors.
I like Glacier Cherry and orange.
That is good. Yeah. But I like Glacier Cherry. I like Fruit Punch. I like orange. I like lemon lime. I like all of it. And sometimes it just matters how I feel at that moment.
Caloric Gatorade, orange 100% of the time. Gatorade Zero, love Glacier Cherry.
How do you feel about G2, which is like explaining the difference between Gatorade and Gatorade Zero?
G2, Glacier Cherry as well.
How do you feel about Fast Switch, the new product with caffeine in it?
Haven't had it.
It's pretty good. However, Gatorade Water, they already have it. Do you know what it's called?
Water.
Propel.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Propel is Gatorade water. It's just flavored
it's
Gatorade
flavored,
water.
Yeah. This is unflavored.
This is unflavored
just water.
Propel.
It's
literally
just water.
It's just water. And like, where in the Gatorade meeting, they're like, you know what the world doesn't have enough of? Water options.
It's just electrolyte water. It's the same as like Essentia.
Yeah.
Essentia?
Essentia.
I don't understand this at all.
Like, none.
Also, I like Propel, by the way. I never see
it. I do like Propel.
When I see it, though, I'm like, oh, I want that.
I want that, too.
I like Propel. It's a good product.
It is a great product.
Let's have more of it. But this is water. And I have to say, I'm a convert. I carry my own water bottle around all the time now. Like, I don't buy regular water anymore.
Oh, you don't?
No.
So you're Love Island, you just carry your Love Island water bottle everywhere?
Well, part of my TJ Maxx lifestyle is that when I, like, have some time to kill, I go to TJ Maxx to browse, and they have, like, water bottles for, like,
$7. Do you put ice in it in the morning and in the ice stays there the day? I've always been jealous of people.
Yes.
I was on the subway yesterday, and someone's ice was rattling around at, like, 4 in the afternoon.
Shocking.
I'm like, someone's ice, they put that ice in there at, like, 9 this morning. It's still rattling around.
Last week, we were talking about how sensors are, like, not ready yet.
Yes.
Water bottle technology is the absolute opposite.
It is.
It's
2045 in the water bottle world.
It's unbelievable how long that ice stays in a water bottle.
My wife was walking down the street with a bag, and I'm like, Joey, I think your phone, you have a speaker in your bag. There's something going on. And I put my ear up against her bag, and I'm like, what is that noise? And I was like, oh, that's just ice from this morning, just bopping around in there.
For me, also, I get the cups with the straws, and I use it for my iced coffee, my La Colombe that I bring with me.
Yes.
And that also lasts like a long time because I'm like, oh, this is great. There's a little milk in it, but it stays cold. I don't need to worry about it getting gross. Like, the insulated cup technology blows my mind all the time.
Absolutely.
And therefore, I don't need Gatorade water.
I don't need Gatorade. No one needs Gatorade water.
So weird.
No one does.
But instead, like, let's make Propel a thing again.
Yes.
Bring Propel
back. How about instead of starting non-Propel, just bring back Propel?
It's
we're the only two people on the planet that even remember Propel.
I mentioned her a lot. One of my best friends, Claudia, and I.
Shout out to Claudia.
We really bonded. We used to go to White Hen, which also no longer exists when we were in college, and we bonded over both loving Peach Propel. And it was like the only place you could get Peach Propel. It's very hard to find.
I was a great person.
Oh, I like mango too. I like peach and mango as my go-to flavors in general.
Huh.
Anyway. All right. Gatorade water. So fucking weird. Let's move on. Let's move on to this story about a bear. I don't know why, but I usually reorder the stories. I didn't as much this week. I'm sorry, everybody.
I can flow. The people listening have no idea that you did that either. You don't have to apologize.
I know,
to them.
But I don't usually say, like, where are we going next?
Make it sound fun.
Okay. Where should we go? Let's talk about
this bear. Let's go Central Florida. Sounds like a good spot to go to.
If I told you there was a bear that stole a White Claw, like, what state would you say that was happening in?
That's not fair, because we used to play this game, and we used to just, it couldn't be Florida. Honestly, we used to play, Kevin Wilds and I used to play this game. He's like, you can't say Florida, because it's always Florida.
It's always Florida. Florida man meet Florida bear.
Yeah, Florida bear. How many limbs does the Florida bear have?
Three.
What's it called?
His name is...
Tripod.
Tripod.
Tripod the bear.
I don't know how I couldn't remember that. Tripod the bear was in the town of Magnolia Plantation, which is like, shouldn't be the name of a new town. Just want to throw that out there, but fair enough.
Totally fair.
Just going to say that. Wandered into this neighborhood and found himself a White Claw.
Yeah. Well, a couple things. I learned a lot about bear-proofing homes from this. And there's a lot of videos on the internet about human interactions with bears. Humans are surprisingly chill around bears.
I would not be.
I would not be
especially
at all.
A three-legged bear. I'd be like, is this a joke? Or, like, what's going on?
Yeah. Is there a person inside that suit? Like the sun bear.
Did you ever find out about sun bear?
Sun bear was a sun bear, dude.
Oh, okay.
So, here's what happened.
That you were propagating that sun bear was a human. So, I was like, oh.
No, I was pro sun bear.
Okay.
Because I researched sun bears heavily and I found out that they act like humans. But.
I forgot to include a really important fact about Tripod. Tripod with their three limbs. Managed to take two cans of seltzer and get rid of a third.
Okay. Like, okay. Let's talk about the seltzer first because that's like the headline. Did you notice what type of seltzer they got? It's a very Juliet selection.
What was it?
Took the mango and strawberry. Okay. So I'm assuming that Tripod drank two of them and then discarded the third. That's what you got from this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Who stops after two White Claws? If you have three in front of you and your Tripod, why not just go for the third one?
I think it's just kind of funny because of, like, he has three legs. So, like, I'm like, why not just have a third? Make it three everything.
Another thing I want to know about Tripod is the only food in which Tripod has allegedly stolen and eaten is shrimp fish food, which I bet the smell attracts it. But like, I feel like Tripod could be breaking into these homes and eating good.
Definitely. I mean, also, like, what happened to Tripod's fourth limb?
I thought that'd be in the story, so I read the whole thing, and there was none. It wasn't there. Was he born like this, or was there an incident?
I think born this way.
I think so too.
Because he's
shout to Gaga
quite good at maneuvering. Like, when you watch the video, it's like watching someone with a limp, but you're just like, oh, okay, but you figured it out.
Yeah, and also like it would be if it was a procedure, it would be a medical procedure. So it's such a clean, non-existent limb. Usually there'd be some sort of like half limb or something if there was a broken limb. Anyway, Tripod is out here. And here's one thing I wanted to talk to you about.
Sorry, can we share one more fact?
A million more facts. That's what we're here for.
Tripod opened the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just they were like out.
Oh, Tripod is sitting down. I imagine Tripod taking a load off.
I thought Tripod, they were just like, when I first read the headline, I was like, oh, they left their barbecue stuff outside. But no, like Tripod knew to open the refrigerator. This was the scent. That strong? Like,
oh, no. Tripod, they know what's inside refrigerators.
I guess this is
learned behavior.
Yeah, because fucking Florida has, like, bears and, like, tripods around.
Yes, and here's one of the things that I didn't think of, which makes total sense. It's the time of year. They're fattening up to hibernate.
Right.
So they eat 20,000 calories a day, which is another reason to have the third White Claw. If you're not dieting, have all the White Claws available to you. I think the whole idea of fattening up and then hibernating for months is so appealing to me. I can't even start. Like, imagine you could just eat and gorge yourself for like a full month and then sleep for 3 months. I can't think of a better lifestyle.
The sleeping part sounds really great.
Imagine waking up from that sleep. You'd be so groggy. But after 2 days, you'd be like, I'm going to run a marathon.
Adult life is basically just being tired all the time.
All the time.
And so if you're just given the opportunity to like rest for a long time, and you don't feel guilty about it. It's just like what you do.
You don't wake up at six because you're used to it. You just wake up like 3 months later, you just wake up. God, that'd be amazing. Bears have it so good.
So good. I feel like I love a good bear story.
But 20,000 calories. I had a weird conversation with my friend. They were talking about some football player that eats 10,000 calories a day and how hard that is. How many calories do you think if you just like tried your hardest, could you eat? Because it's a lower number than you think.
Probably 3,500.
You could do more. 2,000 is like a low number. I don't think there's any person that I know
2,000 is like,
that eats 2,000 calories a day. That's
it's
insane.
Very low.
It's absolutely insane.
4,500?
Yeah, somewhere in that area. Like, I'm a big person, so like 6,000, 7,000, but I feel kind of gross.
Right.
But 20,000 calories a day, that's hard. Hard. Your body's going home to home.
Yeah, you have to eat like a giant vat of cereal and then move on to
about a Chipotle burrito fully packed.
Right. And that's like bad for you.
That's like 1,200.
I was going to say 1,700, but yeah.
1,700. Sure. Two of those, 3,400. Four of those, 6,800.
Yeah, you need 11 Chipotle burritos.
Yeah. Like I feel bad for Tripod now. Yeah. We need to be feeding Tripod.
He did look a little skinny, but I guess it's like the end of the cycle. He's fattening up right now.
He's fattening up.
I can't believe there's just a bear in Florida named Tripod.
I feel like they love Tripod, and I feel like they feed Tripod.
I think that people need to be more afraid of bears. I don't know. I'm just like, why are we backing off this fear?
I see so many internet videos. I guess they go viral because of the people's behavior around the bears.
Because there's a bear.
They must see bears all the time, where they act so chill, like the bear is a person, like a stranger.
This one of the kids in this compilation of Tripod videos, he had the wherewithal to like protect his dog.
Move his dog.
I was just like, wow, good
and
for
then
him.
And filmed the bear. Yeah. And he was 13 years old.
I know.
And he was calm.
I know.
He was just like, oh, here, Pooch, you go to the other room. Let me get my camera, get a good angle on this while Tripod rummages through the fridge.
And they're like, how funny, he ate our shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bummer.
Yeah. But didn't get Rufus.
Oh my God. All right. Let's move on to our taste test. All right, today's taste test, Hot Pockets.
Are Hot Pockets, they really hit me when I was like at the right time for Hot Pockets. When I was a teen, they were peaking.
Yeah, when I was like a kid, I was like, Mom, can I have a Hot Pocket for dinner?
My children have never had a Hot Pocket.
Hot Pockets and Lean Pockets too. You don't remember that?
I only remember the Hot Pockets part.
Hot Pockets.
For me, it's Hot Pockets.
That's it.
That's it.
So maybe you aged out of Lean Pockets.
This is also, I don't mean to go too much, give me 10 second tangent. Put 10 seconds on the clock. I feel like things that used to be advertised are no longer advertised.
Well,
like you would never see an ad for a Hot Pocket on television anymore.
Oh, definitely not. Well, here's the thing. We're having Hot Pockets because they have a collab with Hot One. So we're trying two of them. But like, I'm really excited to try this. Similar to the pizza last week. I could never buy this in the store. I couldn't live with myself if I bought a Hot Pocket.
You don't have to tell anybody.
Oh my God. No, I couldn't do it. It's like,
so this is perfect for you.
Everything, excuse. Yeah, this is awesome.
Yes.
Everything about this is like processed.
But I'm a little concerned because of the Hot Ones podcast or whatever video, whatever the thing is, shout to them. They're Show. Notoriously known for making really very hot. Spicy things, and I'm worried about you.
So thank you so much. So we're trying two. I'm starting with the Hot Pockets, spicy garlic chicken and bacon featuring the classic garlic Fresno. It's perfect for a milder experience.
There you go. You always want a milder experience. Definitely. Not just in foods, just across the
in
board.
In general, yeah. Let's keep it mild. I want to try yours, though. I'm trying to challenge myself, my palate.
Hey, don't do that. I'm trying the Hot Pockets smoky green chili cheesesteak featuring Los Calientes Verde. That sounds amazing. Because I love cheesesteaks, a satisfying cheesesteak that turns up the heat with a delicious smoky blend of serrano and habanero chiles. This is exciting. You're having the Hot Pocket experience. I can tell the inside was too hot for you. You're struggling a little bit. You're chewing for way too long.
I think I have the habanero one.
No, I don't think so.
We'll try yours.
Okay.
This is too hot for me.
But you're going back for another bite. Explain to the people what you experienced.
It's just like warm temperature and really spicy. I can't taste it. No, you have the garlic chicken one. I can tell from looking at it.
Nope.
Really? I can't taste anything like other than just like spice, and, like hot sauce. Like it's so overwhelming to my palate.
Yeah, I don't see any chicken in here. There's a lot of peppers. Yeah, I got green chilies in here. Yeah.
Wow.
The milder experience is too hot for you.
I'm going to try another bite.
I think you're just hungry.
No, I'm not hungry.
I forgot about Hot Pockets in general. Mm. They're not good, but they're something.
My mouth's on fire.
It'll never get old watching you eat something hot. But this is a new experience. Watch you eat something, complain about how hot it is, accuse Mike, the producer, of sabotaging you with two spicy foods, and then say, hold on, let me get another bite.
Well, I can't taste anything. I can't even tell you what it tastes like. It just tastes spicy.
Mine tasted like a spicy Hot Pocket.
Did you like it?
Eh.
I like the meatball ones. The thing is, I was just thinking as I was losing sensation in my mouth. The funny thing about Hot Pockets is I feel like microwaves are really back. Like I feel like microwave cooking is really in.
Oh, yeah.
But it's sort of like using it as like a cooking tool, not like warming up a Hot Pocket. But I don't know. I love a Hot Pocket. In college, they really hit. You're right, though. It's like, it's not good, but it just hits.
It's
an experience.
Yes. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't feel good, but it's good.
Yeah. I wanted to have another bite, even though I was dying.
I could tell.
You're still eyeing it. Just the idea of a Hot Pocket, but I can't
just
do
being
it.
Being around you.
I have a sickness. What's wrong with me?
You do. Let's go to personal food news.
Let's go to personal food news. Jacoby, today for lunch, I went to Whole Foods. Mm. I haven't mentioned Whole Foods in like months, so there you go, Whole Foods. I had pumpkin mush. That's just a throwback. Mush, our friend.
Oh, pumpkin mush. Yeah. I thought you meant you went to like the hot and cold bar and there's some mush that was pumpkin.
No,
actual pumpkin mush.
It's a really good seasonal flavor.
Time out. You could not have just had pumpkin mush for lunch.
I also had watermelon. I had like a kind of two-part breakfast. So I was just having like a light lunch.
Okay. Oh, you had double breakfast, light lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. One health trend was like have 7 meals a day. And then the next health trend was intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
Never eat. It's like, guys, I'm just gonna stick to what I know.
I just, knowing myself, I needed some snacks. So that's what Whole Foods is really good for. It's not good for like a full lunch, in my opinion, but like that kind of a snack lunch, a girl lunch, if you will.
I was gonna say it, but I didn't want to because it sounded ridiculous. When you said I had some watermelon and a mush, I was like, in the back of my head, I was like, that's a girl lunch. But I'm not gonna say it.
It's a girl lunch, but I really like that flavor. And I just, you know, that was one of our early passions on this podcast.
Yes, yes.
And much like Hot Pockets, it just still hits
for me.
I
need to get back in the mush life. I'm still a little stung from my mush experience by ordering them
Amazon.
In bulk. Yeah, yeah. still trying to recover from that. So I was gonna do something I rarely do, which is do something nice for you.
Mm.
And I challenged your enjoyment of the pickle and pineapple DiGiorno experience. And
yes.
I was kind of a jerk about it, I have to be honest. So my own guilt led me to be like, oh, let me go to this website and learn a bit more about this product. And maybe as a goof, I'll order her a bunch of them because she doesn't want to do that for herself, right?
Sure.
Kind of like when you buy something, like you buy someone as a gift, like a $600 shirt, because no one would ever buy it for themselves.
Right. Yeah.
$600 shirt sounds very expensive.
That
would
have been nice. Thanks.
Yeah, but I didn't do it. But I'm trying to get a little bit, like, I'm trying to get like quarter points for saying I was going to do it.
You got it.
But I went to the website, and one of the reasons I could not support the project was because not only can you buy the pineapple and pickle pizza, it's a pickleball thing. You can buy pineapple and pickle DiGiorno pickleball paddles. And the whole pickleball craze, it's now creeping into food news.
I like merch, but this is just too far.
It's too much.
Too much.
How does a sport go from I've never heard of you to now there's a pizza collab with DiGiorno in like 3 months?
The weirdest thing about it is I just don't understand the financials at all. Like who... Like, is there Mr. Pickle who's, like, making money pickleball?
Did someone copyright pickleball and did they get residuals?
And, like, I know there's, like, these leagues and, like, Mark Cuban's involved.
Yeah,
stuff.
Of course. Like, Tom Brady owns one or whatever. Yeah.
But, again, like, how are they making money off that? Like, where's the revenue? Like, is it sponsorships? Like, is it from DiGiorno? I need to know more about the financials of pickleball because I'm very confused. And I feel like there's, like, some... There has to be like something that we're not getting because like it's so confounding.
I'm not a pickleball person. I've never played pickleball, but I will not play a sport that I can't drink while I play and I don't get tired from. It's not exercise.
So you want the two extremes. Either like so leisure, there's like golf or bowling
where it's like I'm drinking a beer, just like doing a thing that's not just like staring at my friend. And or it's like I'm playing basketball, which is a workout and I'm tired afterwards. But pickleball seems like a weird middle zone.
And also it's like very social. I feel like there's a social aspect to it that also isn't discussed enough. Just as viewed as like a sport.
It's also, it's very polarizing.
It's kind of like bridge. Well, it's noisy. If you live near pickleball courts, that sucks.
What?
It's like there's popping sounds every time someone
hits
it.
Do you live near pickleball courts?
I do.
I can tell. Yeah, well, it's a very specific
warning. It doesn't impact
warning.
Me. Yeah. There was also an article about it, but it doesn't impact me. I'm not that close, but it's an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Noise complaints.
Noisy. Yeah. Problem. Well, thanks for thinking of me and DiGiorno. Let's listen to some solicitor food news.
If someone wanted to call and be a part of this program and be heard, how could they do that?
Just give us a call at 646-STU-138.
You can get on the show just like this.
Hi, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Becca from Los Angeles. I'm not going to lie. I've called in many times. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks, Becca.
And I have a big crush on Jacoby. I really want to be on the show.
Whoa.
My food news is actually a question. My boyfriend and I live in LA, as I said, and we are spending a month in New York. And we'd like to know what you guys think is the best bagel in the city. I'd love one rack from Manhattan and one from Brooklyn.
Mm.
Okay, thanks so much and thanks for the show. I love listening.
Bye. It's really nice. We gotta try pop-up bagel, by the way. Have you heard about that? It's
like
we gotta try it.
I don't like it when things are so good that they're very rare and there's huge lines and you can't get them.
I know.
There's like a pizza place. Have you heard of this pizza place?
Like in
it's like someone's oven in a kitchen. Yeah, it's like someone's oven in a kitchen.
I think it's called Landistry or something.
And they make like 4 pizzas a day. And you have to like wait on a waiting list for 10 years before you get a pizza.
It's like Lucali too. I was like really happy to go, but I was just like, only if I have an in, I'm not putting in the work for this.
Yeah. So much work.
Do you have a favorite bagel in Manhattan?
I won't travel for bagels.
Like, okay.
I'm not going to pass 55 bagel places to get to one specific bagel place.
Okay.
But I have recently relocated, and producer Mike moved to the neighborhood as well, and there's a famous bagel shop 2 blocks from my house that is titled The Bagel Shop.
Mm.
And they have excellent bagels, and they've got a whole menu of lunch sandwiches and breakfast sandwiches. They've got breakfast sandwich specialties. You cannot go wrong from The Bagel Shop on 3rd Avenue and 92nd Street.
I would also say, this isn't my favorite, but it is really good, and like the rumors are true. Russ and Daughters is excellent.
Yes.
Like Russ and Daughters is
actually
great. You
should probably just do that.
Go to Russ and Daughters. Go to this shop.
Go to Russ and Daughters.
Yeah, you can go to the cafe too, but the shop is a really good experience. Like you won't regret it.
And get locks.
I must say, they have great locks.
Yeah,
like
locks.
It's very good.
That's the right answer for Becca and her boyfriend.
That's very good. If you really want to do something obscure and go far afield, the Bagel Hole in Park Slope is really good, and it's the closest to classic H&H bagels, like from the first wave of H&H. So that's very good as well. I believe it's cash only, so just keep that in mind. But definitely check out Russ and Daughters. You just can't go wrong. It's like, it's an exemplary experience.
So first of all, Becca, I have a crush on you as well. And second of all, why are they coming for a month?
I love it.
It's not like a vacation.
Work?
Some sort of work thing? Yeah, I like it.
Cultural exchange?
I think that like going for a month is going to be so much better than coming for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
Like you really, like a month is like, you really like, you're starting to dig in.
Also, if you find something you really like, whether it's like a workout class or a restaurant or anything, you can go
do
more
it again.
Once. Yeah,
exactly.
It's not like a one-time only thing. You can really experience it.
I really like a soft relocation. You know what I mean? Corporate housing.
Totally.
Furnished apartment.
Yes.
Like not that expensive. I still pay rent in my place in Los Angeles, but I'm just going to have this New York experience. So then when New Yorkers in LA reference Russin Daughters, I'll be like, yes, I love their locks.
It was great. Had a great time.
Shout out to Becca and her boyfriend.
Becca, have a great time. Report back. Thanks to everyone who calls in multiple times. We really appreciate it, honestly. Yeah. Love hearing these voicemails. Also want to thank our producers, Mike Wargon and Ronick Nair. And we'll be back next week.